Good evening, everyone. We welcome you to our gospel service in the Saviour's great name. We're going to sing together the hymn 286. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. 286, and we'll stand as we sing together, please. To the Lord together. Father, we come to seek your face in prayer. We come to call upon thee at the throne of grace. We're encouraged as we approach thee by the great promise of your word, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We ask thee, Father, to guide us in our prayers tonight. Guide us in those requests that we bring before thee. Lord, as we would call, we ask thee to fulfill the promise. We ask thee to answer us. We pray that you'll do great and mighty things in this meeting. And we want to pray, Father, do great and mighty things in our city and in our land also, just at this time. We ask thee, Father, to send to us a breath of God. We pray you'll send to us a move of the Lord. We pray that there will be a strengthening of the work of God. We pray that there will be a weakening of everything that is against God and against his word and against his gospel. I thank you for what we've been singing of tonight. We rejoice in the precious blood of Christ. We thank you for all in the meeting that have experienced the power of that blood, that we can say that our sins have been cleansed and that the stain has been washed away. We're able to testify that we're whiter than the snow. We thank you that we're justified freely by his precious blood. We thank Father for standing before thee. We rejoice that our sins have been taken away. We thank you for the power of the blood of Christ. We thank you that it's able to cleanse from every sin. We thank you for the righteousness of Christ that you've given to us, imputed to us. And Lord, we do rejoice in our standing tonight before Christ, our Saviour. We thank you for the blood of Christ, that it will never lose its power. We think of that blood that our Saviour presented in heaven, upon that heavenly mercy seat, the blood that speaks, the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Lord, what a blessing it is as we gather tonight around the throne of grace, just to know that our Saviour is in heaven, risen from the dead, triumphed over death, triumphed over the grave. We thank you that he's pleading for us. Your word assures us that he ever lives to make intercession for us. And we thank you for the voice of the blood, that voice that's speaking for us, speaking peace and speaking pardon to our souls there in heaven before the throne of God. Remember Peter, or the Saviour said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. And Lord, what a blessing. It's always an encouragement to our hearts to know that others are praying for us. And we rejoice to know tonight that Christ, our Saviour, is ever pleading and interceding there on our behalf. Lord, lead us on ourselves in our prayer lives. Forgive us for our prayerlessness. Forgive us for the sin of prayerlessness. We want to pray, Father, pour out the spirit of prayer upon us. Help us to seek thy face, to seek your blessing. Lord, we're in great need of the blessing of God tonight upon our lives, upon our service, upon this meeting, upon our labours for the Master. Lord, we're in great need of your blessing upon our homes and our families. Your word assures us that if thou dost bless, then we're blessed forever. And Lord, it is for that everlasting blessing of God upon our homes and families that we would pray for tonight. David prayed that it would please thee to bless the house of thy servant. And Lord, we ask thee to bless the homes, the families of every member of this congregation, every family of this church. May they know the blessing of God, especially in spiritual things. Lord, those loved ones that are upon our hearts, that we know that they're not right with God, some that are out of fellowship, some that are backslidden, some that are still not saved. We do want to bring them tonight before thee. And Lord, ask that you'll be gracious, that you might be merciful to them. Lord, as we come in prayer tonight, we're conscious of how weak and feeble we are. We need the power of God. We want to cry for that power to come upon us. May we know the power of thy Spirit. We pray that you'll endue us this evening with power from on high, not just for this meeting, but Lord, grant us an enduement for this incoming week, for every day, every situation of this incoming week. Whatever will cross our path, we pray that we'll know the power and the guidance and even your Spirit to come and uphold us through every situation. We ask the Lord to remember the situation tonight across the earth. We think of world events, men's hearts failing them, even for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. We think, Father, of the actions of wicked men. We remember again the land of Ukraine in all its need. Lord, we think of the people there, even what we heard those few weeks ago in that report from our brother, the Reverend Maxwell. Lord, have mercy upon that land. We plead that the fighting there will be brought to an end. We pray that you'll confound the Russian leader, the Russian government, We know, Father, that you're the Almighty. You're the one that sits on the circle of the earth. You draw forth the heavens as a curtain. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll confound the Russians and the Russian army. We want to pray you'll bring deliverance to the Ukrainian people. We ask thee, Lord, to remember the faithful ministers and missionaries that are laboring for the Lord there in that land, even at this time. Sustain them. We pray that you'll protect them and preserve them. We ask, Lord, for your good hand just to rest upon them, each one. Use them, even in the midst, Father, of these very extreme circumstances in which we're found. We know that there's no limit, no restraint to the Lord to work, even at such a time. Lord, work through your servants. We pray there'll be many in that land that will be brought to Christ. We think even, Father, of the vast quantities of scripture portions and Bibles, gospel literature, going into the land of Russia at this time. Lord, we ask thee to use it. We think of the vastness of that land. We think, Father, of the vast number of souls in darkness, many of them in atheism. We pray, Lord, that the light of the gospel will shine into their darkened hearts and into their darkened souls. Strengthen the church there in that land too. Send others, Father, to be missionaries and to be a witness for the gospel there in that land. Bless, Father, the Slavic Gospel Association in all that they do, and not just in Ukraine and in Russia, but all those Slavic countries. We remember tonight every home crusade. And Lord, thank you for how you've maintained that witness. It's a miracle, a modern miracle, the provision of God, the vast finances required, even from week to week, to maintain that witness. We thank you for it. The gospel going forth across the earth, going over boundaries, even where missionaries are not able to go. Lord, use the literature, the tracts, the scripture portions. We remember, Father, again, that great promise that if we sow bountifully, that we'll also reap bountifully. And Lord, we ask thee to continue to guide and to maintain that witness. We pray, Father, for those that are mourning at this time. Remember our brother Victor and the family. Just be near to them. The loss of Victor's sister-in-law. We pray for that whole family circle. Comfort their hearts. Lord, we ask, especially through your word, remember our sister Mrs. Stella Kelly as well, and the loss of her dear husband Noel so suddenly called from this scene of time. We thank you for their labors, their faithfulness, especially the work that they were involved in the land of Uganda, how they established under God the school and the witness there, and how that witness is continuing, going on from strength to strength. Lord, we pray, raise up laborers for the mission field, even as we were considering this morning. We pray for a sending forth, even as the church at Antioch sent forth those two men, two of their best preachers, their best leaders. We pray, Father, do the same in our congregation, do the same in the free church at this day, at this time. Lord, there needs to be a sending forth by thou alone, the one that's the Lord of the harvest. Send laborers to Uganda, even at this time. Send laborers to Kenya as well. Bless those that are ministering for thee in those lands, giving leadership just at this time. Grant to them the enabling of the Lord. And Lord, we want to ask earnestly that new doors of opportunity for the spread of the gospel might be opened to them. Lord, hear our prayers. Do be with us. Help us through the meeting tonight. And we cry again, let the power of God descend upon us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 305, please. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We're going to leave out the second verse, so we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Please. We're reading together in Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter, and it's the closing section of the chapter that we're going to read from verse 19. So the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. The 19th verse. We'll read to the end of the chapter. Let's hear the Lord's word to our hearts tonight. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Ending there the close of the chapter tonight, we pray the Lord will bless every heart in the meeting, thus the public reading of his own infallible word. I want to welcome you all along to our gospel service. We're glad to see each one that has gathered. We thank you again for your presence. Thank you for your support of our evening gospel service. We pray the Lord will bless you, your family. Pray you'll be blessed through the meeting. We want to welcome those as well that are joining us on our live stream. We're glad to be able to broadcast these meetings into the community and out across the world as well. And we pray the Lord will use the broadcast in the winning of souls also. Just to remind you that after this evening service, there will be a season of prayer for our holiday Bible club to take place at the end of the month. And there'll also be some arrangements made with regard to the rotas and so on for those meetings and activities. So we do encourage you to wait behind if you can. And if possible, if we could sit just in the middle area of the church, it might make that prayer time a little bit easier as well. Remember, please, the activities through the week. Tuesday night at 7:30, we're meeting here at the church for the outreach for the Holiday Bible Club. The flyers, the invitations have been produced. There's some of those available in the porch of the church. So please take a quantity of them. Give them out as widely as you can among your family and your neighbours. And do come, please. We make an appeal for a good number to come on Tuesday night to the church, meeting here at the church, first of all, to go out to distribute these through the city and through the community. Wednesday night at 8 is our midweek service, our prayer meeting and Bible study. I'll be the preacher. Keep in mind that we'll be meeting downstairs from this Wednesday night in the church hall for those midweek meetings. Next Lord's Day, 24th of July, 11:30 the morning meeting, 6:30 the gospel service, the prayer meeting in the evening at 6 o'clock, and I'll be the preacher in the will of the Lord at both meetings. Remember the Holiday Bible Club, just to remind you of the dates, Tuesday the 26th to Friday the 29th, every night for an hour and a half, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. There'll be the parents' night this night, 2 weeks, Sunday night the 31st. Remember our brother Chris Killen, keep him in your prayers. Chris will be taking the meetings of the Holiday Bible Club for us. Remember, the details are up on Facebook. Share that as widely as you can. Remember the sheet in the porch. Put your name on that list. There's help that is needed for every aspect of the club. The missionary appeal for Naporo now stands at £2,435. Remember, we needed £2,500. They estimated that that was the approximate cost of the extensions work that was needed there at Naporo, so we're as good as there. If anything comes in addition to the £2,500, we'll send that on to the board as well. Remember, there's ongoing annual running costs for the Early Child Development Centre there as well, so those additional gifts, if any, come in, can be used for that as well. But we thank you sincerely for your very generous giving to that missionary appeal. Remember the Missionary Council weekend, the 18th to the 20th of November, the Maggerboy House Hotel. Do take an application form if you're interested, with all the details that are upon it. We sympathise as a congregation with Mr. Victor Gray on the death of his sister-in-law. That's his brother Herbie's wife, Mrs. Doreen Gray. She's also Angela Dixon's mother. Angela and her husband Michael are very well known to us as a congregation, so we want to assure them all, Victor and Angela, the family, of our deepest sympathy and prayers just at this time. Do continue to remember Mrs. Stella Kelly, the wife of the Reverend Noel Kelly. Remember that they jointly together nearly 20 years ago went out to Uganda, 2004 thereabouts, and commenced with 16 children the Emmanuel Christian School there at Nusalu. So it was through their labours that mission station was founded. We thank the Lord for their labours, for their vision. Even in the latter years of their life, the manner in which the Lord used them, were saddened by the news of our brother's sudden home calling as a result of a heart attack on Tuesday afternoon past. So keep them, our sister Stella, the wider family circle, in your prayers as well. We're going to sing together, please, just the words of another hymn. It's the hymn 236, Out of Christ Without a Saviour. O can it be, like a ship without a rudder, on a wild and stormy sea. We'll just sing three verses, 1, 3, and 5 of the hymn, 236, and we're standing again to sing, please. Just pray again together, please. Father, we do want to pray for the work among the children. We think of the rising generation in our land. We think, Father, of all the evil influences upon them. We think, Father, of all the false doctrines that they're taught, even in the classrooms of our schools. We think, Father, of that recent court ruling against the things of God been taught in the schools of our land. And Lord, we pray, give us a concern even about the state of our land. Give us a concern, Father, for the souls of these little ones. We pray that you'll bless our efforts here in this city. Remember our brother Chris Killen, as he'll prepare to speak at the meetings here among the boys and girls. Fill him with your Spirit. Lord, we pray that his preparation will be blessed of God. And we pray, Father, that as he takes those meetings, that the presence of God will be known. We pray the children will be attentive to hear the word of God. And we want to ask, Father, that you'll bring many of them to Christ in salvation. We pray the same for this meeting tonight. Lord, we want to ask now, come and put your hand upon the remainder of the gathering. Close us in, Father, for this time with thee. We pray you'll prepare us now for the word of God. We know even at such a time as this, there can be many thoughts that come into our minds, many things that concern us, that divert our attention, distract our attention, even from the word of God as it goes forth. We want to pray, Father, that just now that you'll prepare our hearts. We pray that you'll make us captive to the word of God. We pray that the power of God will be known, the power of the gospel. And our earnest cry is that some soul in this meeting will be snatched as a brand from the burning. hear our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 16, please. The words of verse 22 says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." And think of these words, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and saith Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." The theme tonight is in the form of a question. Let me emphasize it to you at the beginning. The question is, if you don't go to heaven when you die, where do you go? I'd like you to consider that question very carefully in the remainder of this service tonight. That's a question that a child asked a school teacher many years ago when we were living and labouring in the land of Wales. As you think of the work among children, remember, children think more deeply about the things of God than we realise. Even those that seem to be distracted, maybe misbehave in the service, they take in and sometimes ponder more of the truths of God's word than we would want to give them credit for. So you think of that question tonight. If you don't go to heaven when you die, where do you go? And the answer, men and women, clearly of the word of God is, you go to hell. And then this passage, Luke 16, verses 19 to the end, the Lord Jesus speaks very plainly about that awful place called hell. Today, we are told that if we were more like Christ, we would preach more of heaven and less of hell. But oh, how wrong, men and women, that assertion is. Because a careful study, examination of the Gospels, of the New Testament, will reveal that no one ever spoke more of hell than the tender, compassionate Son of God. In fact, the Lord Jesus spoke at least 10 times more about hell than he ever did about heaven. Mr. Nicholson, whenever he was a part of the Torrey Alexander evangelistic band, they were labouring in the great nation of Australia. He was preaching in Perth. Some of the ministers there weren't very pleased with him. They challenged him, said that since he came, that the messages were nothing other than a hellfire, brimstone, and damnation. They said if you were more like Christ, you would preach more on the love of God. You would preach more about heaven. Nicholson replied, there was nothing in this world they wanted more to be than to be like Christ. And it drove him to his Bible. And he read carefully through the Gospels from the first chapter of Matthew to the last chapter of John. And this is what he found. He found that the Lord Jesus spoke once about heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. But he spoke at least 13 times on the subject of hell. Mr. Nicholson, in his sermon on hell, and that's where he tells that story, in his sermon on hell, says that in the Bible there are 20 references to the love of God and 68 references to the wrath of God. So in actual fact, men and women, those that assert to us, if we were more like Christ, we would preach more about heaven and more about the love of God, that is not scriptural. There's nothing further from the teaching of the word of God. And the reality is, I stress it to you tonight, if the Lord Jesus spoke and warned so much about this place, then wouldn't you do well tonight to listen very carefully to what he has to say about it? And that's what I want to urge you to do in this gospel service. Here in Luke 16, we have one of the clearest, one of the fullest statements on hell that the Lord Jesus ever gave. Remember that there are some principles of Bible interpretation, the law of the first mention, the law of the final mention, the law of the full mention. The law of the full mention's the place in the Bible where you get the fullest treatment of that subject. And that is true of Luke 16. This is the law of the full mention. when it comes to the subject of hell. There's no fuller, more detailed description of it that is given anywhere in all of the Word of God. There are a number of things about hell I want to emphasize to you tonight that the Lord Jesus teaches, states here in this passage. First of all, he tells us that hell is factual. Hell, men and women, is a fact, regardless of how many people in this generation, in this society, want to deny its existence. Hell is a fact. Hell is a real place. In the words of our text, the Lord Jesus informs us of this rich man that he died, he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. In other words, this rich man actually went to hell. What we're reading about here in these verses is of this rich man in hell. Think of how solemn that truth is, men and women. All around us today, voices are being raised saying, there is no such place as hell. Multitudes deny that this place actually exists. You think of the late evangelist Billy Graham, his views on hell would be suspect, to say the very least. They're not scriptural. But let me say to you tonight, the voice of him who is the final authority on all matters of eternal significance, the voice of him that knows all things, the voice of him who cannot lie, the voice of the Lord Jesus affirms unmistakably that there is a hell. Do you really tonight, do you really want to know if there is a hell? Then I urge you, take a good look at these verses that are before us. Because here in this passage, what the Lord Jesus does is he draws back the veil on eternity. He gives us a little glimpse of the world that is to come. He lets us see for ourselves that there is such a place as hell. He lets us see even more than that. He lets us see that people going to hell is a fact. It's a reality. So men and women, don't be deluded. Hell is not a figure of speech. You know, some people use the word hell as a curse word. They use it regularly, repeatedly. Never give any thought to it. Never consider the reality of it. But hell's not just a figure of speech. It's not just a word that people use when they swear or curse. It's not just a figment of someone's imagination. Hell is not something that was invented by the church. Hell is not a theory, men and women. It's a fact. It's not a myth. It's not fiction. The place of which we speak tonight is a real place. And let me stress that if you know not Christ as your Savior, then you are fast racing towards hell. Remember, the Bible talks about the broad road. All that are out of Christ are on that road. That road is like the fast lane of the motorway. It's leading men and women quickly to destruction. So if you're out of Christ tonight, we warn you that you're fast racing towards this real place. And if you die without Christ as your Savior, then this is where you'll go. This is where you'll be for all eternity. You, like this rich man, one day in hell will lift up your eyes, being in torment. Often the question is asked, it's a very interesting question, where is hell? Some of you may remember Dr. Cook preaching on the subject here many years ago. Hell, its reality, its locality, and its destiny. We believe hell to be in the center of this earth, the center of this planet. That's one of the things that makes the earth different from all of the other planets and stars and so on in the entire universe. The fact that hell is central to it, and that men that are made in the image of God are upon the surface of it. But here's something, men and women, more relevant to you in the meeting tonight. Where is hell? Hell is at the end of every Christless life. Hell is at the end of the road for every Christ rejecter, those who refuse God's offer of mercy. Sometimes people will say to you, when you witness to them, when you warn them, if someone were to come back from the dead, someone was to rise, someone was to come back from hell and tell us about its reality, tell us about how terrible a place it is, then I would believe. Well, remember that question is addressed here in this passage of Scripture. If you look there at verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, this is the rich man, asking for Lazarus, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Isn't it interesting that the rich man in hell had a concern for his family, for his five brothers, concern for their soul, concern for their eternal destiny, a concern for where they might end up in eternity. He had no concern about them when he was in this world, but he had a deep concern for them when he was perishing in the flames of hell. But look at the answer to the rich man in verse 29. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, the answer is they have the word of God. And the reality, men and women, is this. Keep this in mind. If someone ever says to you, if somebody was to come back from the dead and witness about hell, I would believe. Remember, they have the word of God. And if someone came back from hell, if someone came back from the dead, they couldn't tell you any more about eternity. They couldn't tell you anything more about hell and about those in hell and the conditions in hell. They couldn't tell you any more about those things than God has already told you in his word. They have Moses and the prophets. Look at verse 31. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If you won't believe the word of God, if you won't believe what God has said to you in his word about hell and the dangers of going to that place for all eternity, then you'll not listen to anyone else, no matter who they are and no matter where they come from. So hell, men and women, is factual. It's a real place. But the Lord Jesus also teaches us here that hell is fearful. In verse 23, the Savior states of this rich man, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Just ponder that for a moment. It's not a fearful thought, men and women, being in torments. In these verses of this chapter, the Lord Jesus leaves us in no doubt that hell's an awful place. He leaves us in no doubt the thought of being there, going there, is frightening, to say the very least. He tells us a number of places here about how awful hell is. He tells us plainly that hell is a place of literal burning flames. If you look there at the end of verse 24, I am tormented in this flame. Think of all of the bonfires that were ignited during the past week. The emphasis there's been on the fires. Well, let that always cause you to think about eternity, about the eternal fires of hell, literal burning flames. I mentioned to you Mr. Nicholson, when he was preaching in Lanarkshire, very few people were coming out to the meetings. He was just setting out in his evangelistic labors as a young man at that time. He saw, in those days they had like a town crier. He went down the town with the bell. That's how he got the attention of the people. If any announcements were to be made, especially if there was a fire that had broken out in the town or in the community. He asked for the loan of that bell. He walked down the town one night, ringing it with all his might, shouting, fire, fire, fire. The crowds of people come out. The people were alerted from their homes. Great crowd gathered in the square. He jumped up there in the middle of the square on a little concrete platform. And he said to the people, I brought you here tonight to tell you there's fire in hell, and I want to warn you about it. It had great effect upon that city, great effect upon that community at that time. But not only is there literal burning flames, he tells us that there's extreme heat. If you look again at verse 24, it says he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The extreme heat of hell. Young girl, we were ministering in the church in Mulloglass. When she applied for church membership, we asked her to give a little outline of her testimony. She said one winter's night, when they came home from the children's meeting, they were sitting by the fire, The father just put on some coal, some fresh sticks. The fire was burning very strongly. She was sitting close to the fireplace. She felt the heat of the fire. Made her think about eternity. Made her think about hell. That's what brought her to Christ. The thought of being in the fire, being in the awful heat of that fire for all eternity. Notice he says as well, he speaks about the unquenchable thirst. It says there that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. You ever been thirsty? Imagine unquenchable thirst. Well, that's what it's like for the souls that are lost in hell. It was D.L. Moody in the notes in his Bible beside this passage of Scripture that said, he'd rather beg for bread on earth like Lazarus than beg for water in hell like the rich man. Does not sum it up well, men and women? Rather beg for bread on earth than beg for water in hell like the rich man. Remember that hell is a place of darkness. The Bible says that it's a place of the extreme darkness. Remember that in the book of Exodus, we're told about the darkness, the plague of darkness. It was darkness that may be felt. Think of how fearful that would be. You could actually feel the darkness. Remember the Lord Jesus warned about the blackness of darkness forever. A place where there's no light. A place where you never get away, get out of the darkness. John Welch, he was the son-in-law of the great Scottish preacher, John Knox. He was incarcerated in what was known as Blackness Castle just because he was a gospel preacher, just because of his faithfulness to the Word of God. He said he would rather be in the darkness of Blackness than in the blackness of darkness forever. Remember, too, that this place, hell, the Savior says, is a place where people continually cry out. The opening of verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. It's a place where people continually cry out because of the severe agony, the severe pain, the torment that they are enduring. Can I remind you, men and women, there's no weeping, there's no crying like the weeping and the crying of those in hell, those in a lost eternity. Hell is also a place where there is no mercy. Verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Didn't pray that prayer on earth, but cried out for mercy in hell. But there is no mercy, men and women, for those that go to a lost eternity. It is sometimes described as the place where God has forgotten to be merciful. You can see from all of these truths that we have set out tonight, it's truly an awful place. The description that the Lord Jesus gives of hell is fearful. It's something that should strike fear and terror into the heart of every soul, especially those who are without Christ. But you know what the great tragedy of the day in which we live is? Hell is only a place that people glibly jest about. There's no fear of God. No fear of God before their eyes. And there's no fear of hell. People only laugh and mock about hell, about going to hell. Eric Morcom, the comedian, before his death, he made light about hell, told jokes about it, told jokes about going to hell, about what he would do when he got there, about the reunion parties that he was planning to have with all his friends when they got to hell as well. Remember, too, in more recent years that we had the Toronto Blessing, those to whom hell was only a joke, a laughing matter. When this solemn subject was preached on, they rolled about on the floor in fits of laughter. But men and women, let me tell you tonight, don't be fooled. Hell's not a place to be laughed at. Going to hell, going to a lost eternity, that's not something to joke about. It's a subject that should cause you great concern, deep concern, great alarm tonight. No, whenever there's a fire, the alarm bells ring. And so it should be in your heart tonight. The alarm bells should be ringing. Tell me, men and women, unsaved person, have you fear of being cast out into hell? If you don't, you ought to have. And we pray as God's people that the Lord might, in his grace and mercy, give it to you. Hell is fearful. There's one other thing that the Lord Jesus emphasizes that we'll highlight to you tonight. That is, hell is final. Look at verse 26 of this chapter. We learn between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Hell's final. Man once said, foolishly, hell was full, and I came back. You don't come back from hell, men and women. The words of this passage leave us in no doubt. There's no way back. There's no way out of hell. Hell is a place where there are no exits, or as someone once put it, hell is the place where there's no fire escapes. Your ticket to hell is a one-way ticket. There is no return. Once you're there to stay. When you arrive in that place, you're there forever. You'll never escape the torments. And I want to urge you to take that in tonight. The Bible does teach the doctrine of eternal punishment. In other words, the punishment of hell for the sinner is something that will never end. Some people who believe in hell hold to the notion that after a period of time, they will have suffered enough to satisfy God for their sins themselves, and then God will let them out of hell and into heaven. That's like a Protestant purgatory. But that's a lie, men and women. It's a false hope. You look carefully at the words of the Lord Jesus and you will learn there was no way out of hell for this man. No way out. Not then. Not ever. Between heaven and hell, there is an uncrossable gulf. But do you know where we get the greatest proof of eternal punishment? We get it at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reality, men and women, is this. If you could suffer enough to satisfy God yourself for your sins, then Jesus Christ did not need to die. He did not need to go to the cross of Calvary. But hell is such a reality of unending suffering that it took a sacrifice as great as the death of the Son of God to redeem you from it. So make no mistake tonight, if you die unsaved, then hell will be your destiny. And if you die without Christ, hell will be your final destiny. You will be there forever and forever. Hell is final, men and women. So in the light of those very sobering truths, think of them again. Hell's factual. It's fearful. It's a place that's final. In the light of those very sobering truths taught here by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, here's the question you need to ask yourself this evening. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? That's a very good question. And the answer to the question is found in the last word of verse 30, the word repent. It says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. What that word repent means is to turn from your sins and accept Christ as your Savior. And men and women, that's the way, that's the only way that you escape the damnation of hell. Remember Mr. Spurgeon's great sermon titled, Turn or Burn. So those are the two alternatives. Either you turn, either you repent, or you will burn in the flames of hell for all eternity. It's not, men and women, by works. It's not by sacraments. It's not by rituals. It's not by money, no matter how great the amount may be. It's not by any of those things that you escape hell. It's by repentance and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I tonight want to urge you with all my heart to repent of your sins. Let me just emphasize in closing, I ask you, look carefully at this passage. Consider carefully this man, this rich man, perishing eternally in the flames of hell. And as you think of his awful eternal condition, let me leave you with the solemn warning of the Lord Jesus. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you don't go to heaven when you die, where do you go to? It's only one of two destinies, men and women in eternity. And if you don't go to heaven, remember, this is what the Lord Jesus himself said. This is the awful place to which your soul will go. May the Lord write his word tonight upon every heart. 246. Think of the solemn words, the challenging words. Time is earnest passing by. Death is earnest drawing nigh. Sinner, wilt thou trifling be? Time and death appeal to thee. 246, and we're standing to sing, please. Thank you for the warning of your word. We thank you for all that you've told us. We thank you for your mercy in drawing back the veil, revealing to us eternity, especially the danger of a lost eternity. We ask the Lord to use the word tonight. We know, Father, that we cannot create an anxious thought. We need the Spirit of God to come and work in hearts. Pray there might be those that would tremble tonight at the word of God. But especially we pray, Father, by your grace, that some in this service, some that have heard the message, will repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior. Pray too, Father, for us as thy people. Give to us a greater concern for souls that are out of Christ. Lord, write and impress indelibly upon our hearts the awful danger of souls going to hell. We pray that we'll never get used to the thought of people dying without Christ as their Savior. Give us a greater earnestness. O God, we ask, help us to do all that we can day by day in the winning of souls to Christ. Abide with us. We pray as we linger on in prayer. May the hand of God be upon the meeting. May you fill us with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we're asking that we'll see answers to our cries for the work of God here, even in coming weeks. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.